You know, one of the things I've always realized about the Lord is that when you don't think He's doing something is when He is. You know, He doesn't stop. One of the problems that occurs is when people are not as joyful as they normally are, they think God's not doing something. Oh, God, you love me? No, He didn't. Everyone say, I have a choice.
I have a choice.
Okay, you can go home now. No, you can't. Lock the door. I have a choice. Say it again. I have a choice.
I have the power
to choose. Because God has given me a measure of faith to overcome the world. I was born with it. So I have a choice. And I have power to choose. Now, if we just hold on to that, there's two scriptures I want you to grab hold of today, okay? Very, very vitally important. Two scriptures. I want you to slam them. Go to Romans 8. I'm going there before we even start the teaching, so praise God. Romans 8. There's two scriptures we're going to grab hold of today that just bam, 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 slam, slam, slam. Execute, execute, execute. Romans 8. Romans 8, 28. Is everybody there? We are going to speak this together. Because we're going to sow, because what you sow is what you
reap.
Are you ready? And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to that His purpose. Is that you? Okay, so are all things going to work to the good?
Yes.
So when things seem so messed up, are you going to believe what your circumstances are? Are you going to believe what you feel? Are you going to believe what you think? Or are you going to believe what God says? Let's read it again. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Go to the next verse. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be what? Conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That you would be the firstborn among many brethren. You know, for some of us, we're the firstborn amongst our family. Because many of our family have been not born again, really, or walking in it. So for many of us that are here today, many of us are the firstborn of our family. In other words, that ancestral curse has come down the line and God chose you to say, that's enough! Stop in the name of love before I cast you out. Think it over. Who sang that song? Come on, the Supremes. Anybody remember the Supremes? Stop in the name of love. Before I cast you out, think it over. I know. So next time the devil starts, just start singing. Do the Supreme gig, you know. All things work to the good. To those who love Him. Do you love Him?
Yes.
Yeah, you make a choice, don't you? You choose to love Him. Are you called according to His purpose? So everything's going to work to the good. Now let me tell you. So if He did something that was not according to His will, is there a way of escape? Yes. And can it work to the good? Yes. But of course, if you stay in the disobedient arena, can it work to the good? No. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. Amen? So that means things are going to work to the good to those who love him and am called according to his purpose. Okay, that's the first scripture that you're going to slam today. No matter what's going on in your life. No, all things are going to work to the good. You know, let me tell you something very important. Anybody ever make a mistake? Well, one day I was sitting on my couch and I was like, man, I can't believe what I just did, Lord. I can't believe I should have known better. I'm sorry. You know, I was just, and of course, you know, when as soon as you say that, God forgives you, but the enemy shows up and starts beating you. He gives you the baseball bat. Here you have, you know, harpoons, cross shows up. He says, why don't you just crucify yourself, you know, everything. And, I can't believe I said that or I did that or whatever. And I said, man, I'm so sorry, Lord. And all of a sudden, in the spirit, I saw him at the end of the couch. And he had his legs crossed, and he was looking at me. And I look at him, and he says to me, Guy, I said, yes, Lord. He says, your mistakes are my problems, not yours. I said, my mistakes are your problems? He says, yes, if you stay in divine order, your mistakes are my problems, not yours. And let me tell you, that set me free instantly. Boom. Why? Because one of the things he does is he makes a way of escape for us to get in divine order. As long as you're in divine order, listen, it doesn't mean you won't make a mistake. It doesn't mean you won't say something. It doesn't mean you won't get in the flesh sometimes. But you're to shake the dust off and get right back up saying, Lord, you know, I blew it. I'm sorry. Don't justify. Don't reason. And don't make an excuse. And don't blame whatever you do. Because you'll never get out of it then. You just get up, you shake the dust off, you let it go, forgive me, Lord. Bam, now you know what? It's his problem, not yours. Because what happens is we have a tendency to want to go back and fix it. I can't believe I did that. I need to go fix it. No, you don't. You need to keep your little paws out of it. Why? Because you're going to make it worse. You're going to fix it by emotion. See, the only reason why you want to go back there and fix it is soothe yourself. Why? Because usually fear, anxiety, stress, you're being pushed. Go fix it, go fix it, go fix it, go fix it. And that's not dad. Dad leads, the devil does what? Push! Because he knows that he can get you in the flesh and then he can get fed more. Because what you sow in the flesh, you reap corruption. Does everybody get it? Then he wants you to start shooting off your mouth. Oh man, nothing ever works! Oh man, I can't believe it! And the Holy Ghost shows up with this big white rag. He says, open wide. Because I love you. Now, let's rethink this. Stop! In the name of love before I what? Cast you out. Think it over. So, all things are going to work to the good to those who are called, to love him, those who love him and called according to his purpose, which causes you a way of escape, get in divine order again, get in position, right? And when you make a mistake, it's his problem, not yours. Because when you put it under the blood, it's no longer yours, it's his. Lord, forgive me, it's under the blood. Okay, done. Now, show me what I'm supposed to do. Amen? Are you ready for the next scripture? Psalm 34. Psalm 34. In verse 19, two scriptures we're going to burn in our spirit today. Is everybody ready? Psalm 34, verse 19, what does it say? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of one. All. Whoa. All. All. Hey, when God says all, he means all. Anybody been afflicted? Faust's going to ask, is anybody in affliction? Everybody would raise their hand, so I'm not even going to ask. Many. Everyone say many.
Many.
So it means more than one, doesn't it? It means when you go from one affliction, you go to another usually. Do you know that your afflictions are molding you? It's on the job training, OJT. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Does everybody get it? Out of them what? Oh, okay. So we got two scriptures we are burning today in our spirit. All things work to the what? Good. To those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Makes a way of escape, doesn't he? And many are the afflictions of the righteous, and the Lord delivers them out of what? All. Okay, now that we know, we got no excuse, right? So, since we have the power to choose, we don't have to be miserable. Why? Because the Word says God's going to deliver you out of all your afflictions, and everything's going to work to the good. So everybody get this. So there should be no reason whatsoever for you to be a jerk and me to be a jerk. There should be no reason for us to be miserable. There should be no reason. None. As long as you stop blaming, justifying, and reasoning, everything's going to work to the good. Amen? And he's going to rescue you out of every bit of trouble. Does everybody get that? It's divine order. Divine. That's where we stay in divine position. Everything's going to work to the good. Is everybody okay? You got it now, right? So there's something we're going to have to do. We're going to have to believe. We got to believe. There's actually three things we got to do. Are you ready? Write them down. We've got to believe. We got to receive. Then we must execute. Believe, receive, and execute. Because if you don't believe, you're not getting nothing. You know why people don't sing and praise God? Because they don't believe. They really don't believe. You know why people are really not in fellowship? Because they don't believe. I don't care what they say, how many quotes they quote scripture. I don't care what they're doing. The reason why they're not in fellowship is because they truly don't believe. They just really don't believe. They believe what they want to believe when they want to believe it and how they want to believe, but they really don't believe. Why? Because when you believe, you receive. Everybody got it? And when you receive, you execute. See, so it starts by believing. So when a believer tells me, well, I just really don't like organized religion. Well, who does? But I'm a part of a living organism called the body of Christ. But in the military, there must be organization because it's operated on protocol. It's operated just like a military. That's what the kingdom of God. It's not religion. We're not here for a Bible study. We're here for training. See, that religious stuff has got to be wiped out. It's nothing to do with religion. We are from an eternal place in a temporary realm with a king and a military. Everyone has been sent into this realm to fulfill a mission, not to get religious. Jesus did not bring religion. He brought a sword. Hello. He brought a way of escape. He brought his word. He brought the anointing, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, so you and I could battle, so that we could fight as soldiers in the kingdom of God. We are to believe, receive, and execute. You know, most believers don't even know you can cast out a devil. Most believers don't even realize that you can still raise the dead. Most believers don't even believe that you can pray in tongues directly to God. Most believers don't believe you can lay hands on the sick. Well, I just don't believe that. I know you don't believe that because you don't believe. And because you don't believe, you can't receive. And because you can't receive, you can't execute the gifts. And you deny the word of God that says it. So you're calling God a liar just because you want to believe what you want to believe. Well, because I'm religious. That's why. Bound by pride and fear. Believe, receive, execute. Amen? That's why the word says, forsake not to assemble. Why? Because we come together to what? Get trained up. Get encouraged. Get stirred up. Get plugged in. Know what God's given us a message for. Why? Because there's something going on. God is always releasing strategies to his children for what the enemy's getting ready to do next. He says, my own people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Why? Because they're still trying to figure out according to the natural carnal understanding, not through the spirit. See, in the physical realm, 1 + 1 = 2. Not in the spirit realm. It's different. 1 + 1 could equal many things. Let me tell you, Jesus said, everything I have, my Father's given me. And everything that I have, I've given to the Holy Spirit. And everything the Holy Spirit has, he's given to me and you. Whoa. That's why we're blessed with every spiritual blessing, seated in heavenly places. So you may only look carnally, but you don't realize that you're already seated in the heavenly place already right now. You're there right now. And you have dominion and authority and power over everything. But as a man thinks, so he is. So the enemy attacks how you think. Because if he can prevent you from knowing who you are, then he has you in captivity. That's why most people are not executing the removal of the forces of darkness. We are enforcers of the eternal things of God in this realm. So you and I are to drive out darkness. We are to drive out fear. We are to drive out religion. We are to drive. That's our responsibility. Why? Because we're making room for Daddy. Is everybody okay? Psalm 149. Things work to the good. So those who love Him call according to His purpose, and many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord does what? Delivers us out of all of them. Psalm 149. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 1, let's speak it. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, and His praises in the what? In the what? Oh, man, you mean the saints assemble? Praise God. So if you're not an assembler, are you obedient or disobedient? You're disobedient. You know why? Because you don't believe. And if you can't believe, you can't receive. You can't receive, you can't execute it. Verse 2. Let true ministries rejoice in their Maker. And let the children of Zion be joyful in their King. Let them praise His name with a what? Oh my gosh. Holy Ghost aerobics. Let them praise His name with a dance. Does everybody see that? Dance. Dance. So it's okay to dance. Let's not be stiff-necked and religious. Let's let go and let God. That's, you know, do you ever hear the saying, monkey on a back? A person's got a monkey on his back. He's got more than a monkey on his back. So dance it off. Let them praise His name with a dance, and let them sing praises to Him with a timbrel and harp. Verse 4. For the Lord, what? Takes pleasure in His people, and He will what? Beautify the humble, the humble, the humble, humble. With what? Salvation. Let the saints be joyful in what? The glory realm. And let them sing aloud on their, thank God we're not in bed. Now we can sing louder. Verse 6. Let the what? High praises of God be where? In their mouth. Let the high praises go high, because what you sow is what you reap. And the two-edged sword where? In their hand. Listen, you didn't come here to pick up no hymn. Hello? We ain't hymning. We came here to lift the high praises of God in our mouth so that you and I can pick up the sword. Why? Because as you praise and worship, the anointing comes. And now you're able to speak back by the presence of God. King David, there's no way he could have picked up that sword of Goliath and cut his own head off unless he had the anointing. In fact, the whole army of Israel was running away from Goliath. Here comes this scrawny dude, shepherd, out there hanging out with the sheep, walks up, says, what's the matter with you guys, man? Man, he had heaven backing him up. What's he tell Goliath? Man, you come with a javelin, a sword, and a big shoes. In fact, you come with a big head. I'm going to cut that off today. Why? Because I come in the name of the Lord. I'm backed by heaven, and you're backed by hell. My dad created you. So today, your head's going to be hanging, and I'm going to use your own sword to cut your own head off. And he did, because he was backed by the anointing. Now look at verse 7. So we're to have high praises of God in our mouth for to bring the presence of God. We're forcing back darkness, bringing in light. And we have a two-edged sword in our hand, which is actually coming out of our mouth. To what? Execute. Everyone say execute. Execute. Vengeance on the nations. In other words, you're going to execute the vengeance of the Lord. Does God love evil? No. He hates evil, doesn't he? So whose responsibility is to force out evil? Ours. So we're to execute the vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. To what? Execute. Everyone say execute.
Execute.
Everyone say, if I believe,
I receive.
Then I execute.
I execute.
To execute on them the what? What it says. Here it is. This is what you're going to execute evil with. Everyone say, I'm an executor. Yes. Verse 9, read it with me. To execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all his saints. Wow. Praise the Lord. So if you believe, you receive, then you execute. Has everybody got it? If you don't believe, you won't execute. But I'm a believer. You can't believe if you're not executing. Why? Because the word says, believe means to what? Follow. If you're truly following what God says, you're going to be executing what he says too. Or else you're really not believing. You're playing religion. Oh, you may, look at, you can memorize the page numbers of this thing and still go to hell. Is everybody all right? Believe, receive, and what? Execute. Deuteronomy 9. Again, this is not a religious act. It's a military operation designated, ordained, and predestined by God Almighty. And it's time the body of Christ stood up as a military operation instead of a religious act of ritual. Is everybody there? Deuteronomy 9, verse 1. Let's speak it. O Israel, you are to cross over. Is everybody there? The Jordan today and go into what? Dispossessed, in other words, take over nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified up to heaven. Now, come on, think about this. God just said, listen, I'm going to send you into a place that's going to kick your butt. They're going to destroy you. You can't win, but I can win it for you if you just get out of the way, if you'll deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow. I'll take care of it. I'll fight for you. So I'm going to send you in this place where there's giants. So many people don't even know about giants. Bless you. Giants. Nephilims. Offsprings of the fallen angels that had sex with women. Produced children. Giants. That's where the Lord was sending them. Watch. Because what did he say? He said, look it. I'm going to send you into this place and you're going to remove these in a greater nation, mightier than yourself, cities great and fortified where? Up to heaven. Wasn't the Tower of Babel up to where? Almost heaven, right? All right, look at verse 2. Read it with me. A people great and tall, descendants of Anakim. Those were Nephilims. Whom you know and whom you heard, it said, who can stand before the descendants of Anak. Why? Because people couldn't defeat them. They were also known as titans. Some of them were 30 feet tall. Verse 3. Therefore understand today that the Lord your God is he who goes over before you as a what? Consuming fire. For he will destroy them and bring them down before you. So you shall drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord said to you. So whose responsibility was to drive them out? Ours. But who's going to go before us? The Lord. Why? Because you've got to speak it, and he goes. See, the angels are waiting on us to execute. God is waiting on me and you to execute. But first you got to believe. Because if you don't believe, you're not going to receive or execute. You're going to go, oh, Jesus, help me. You know what happens when you cry out to the Lord for help? He sends you in a place to learn. Oh, Lord, what's that? I can't do this. I know you can't. Come on, learn or you're going to burn. Why? Because freedom is learned. Trust is earned, isn't it? Every time we call on our God, he always sends us in a place to learn. Why? Because everything that you and I are doing, all of our afflictions is to mold us more in his image. Every trial and tribulation should be exposing your enemy. But if you're not looking at it in that way, the only thing you're looking at is you. Me, 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 me. Is everybody okay? The Lord is, He drives them out. He drives out wickedness. We're to be driving, but He's manifesting. If we believe, we receive, then we execute. It's when we don't believe, we don't execute. We sit there, oh God, help, oh God. And He says, pick up the sword, man. Do something. I'm waiting on you, Lord. He says, I'm waiting on you. Get in and learn. Didn't He say, come to me and what? Learn. For my what? Yoke is easy, isn't it? Burden is what? Light. So when you make mistakes, whose problem is it? His. If you're in divine order. But if you're out there acting like a heathen, living like a heathen, putting garbage in your eyes and ears and heart, you're out of position. Touching unclean things, you're out of position. You can quote all the scriptures you want. Ain't nothing going to happen till you get in divine order. And it starts with repentance and being humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He'll exalt you in due time. Psalm 27. Now, many people will believe and receive and execute. The problem is that they're believing and receiving in evil and executing it. Somebody get it? We see more of that happening right now. Look at all these Muslims that are beheading people because they believe, they receive, and they're executing. They're actually believing the Quran. Of course, the Quran tells us in Quran 3:28 that says it's okay to lie. They believe in lying. It's okay to lie for a purpose. You know that the name of Jesus is mentioned more in the Quran than Allah and Muhammad? But I'm not going there today. That's how many people, if people really read the Quran, they're going to get converted to Christ. If they really study the Quran, they're going to go to Christ. Psalm 27. But they don't. They just read part of it, or they really don't get it, and they just go to these places, they get told what to do, and they believe, they receive, and then they execute. The problem is they're dying and waking up in hell because they're serving the Antichrist. Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody okay? In fact, one of the insignias of 666 means in the name of Allah. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? In verse 11, Psalm 27, verse 11. Are you ready? What does He say? Teach me Your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart, say lost heart, unless I had what? Believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, listen, he held on, didn't he? He believed God's promise. And because he believed what God had said, he held on to it. He didn't lose heart. It says in verse 14, wait on the Lord and be of what? Good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So in this arena, one of the things that we don't want to do is react. We want to respond. Because react means you're cooperating with the old man, reacting according to the flesh. We respond now according to the Spirit. It's different. He said, I would have lost heart unless I believed. Why? Because he had already believed and received what God had said. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thess 2. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. What's the two scriptures? All things what? Work to the good to those who love God and according to His purpose. And many are the afflictions of the righteous, and He delivers us out of what? All of them. All of them. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Is everybody there? Hallelujah. Verse 13. Let's speak it together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13. Okay, I'm there. And you being what? Oops, wrong one. Hold on. One more page. There we go. Let's try this again. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as a word from men, but as it is in truth, a word from God. So you cannot come in here and expect to receive from a man. You come in here and expect to receive from what God says. Is everybody under? Why? Because it's the anointing that teaches us, not men. When men teach us, it promotes religion. Amen? When the Holy Spirit teaches us, it brings freedom. One brings bondage and rituals, one brings freedom. But as is in the truth, the Word of God, which also effectively works in what? You who what? Who what? Who believe. Who what? Believe. Okay, let's read verse 13 again. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as a word of men, but as in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. So when you believe, you receive, it's working in you. Why? Now you're able to what? Execute it. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 14, for you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God which are in Judea in Christ Jesus. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen, just as they did from the Judeans, who killed both the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us. And they do not please God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they may be saved. So, as always, to fill up the measure of their sins, but wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. Hallelujah. You know, there's something the word says, it says, touch not my anointed. Let me tell you, when you're in divine order, you are anointed. And the enemy can't touch you. That's all he does, is make paper airplanes and puts messages on them and flies them at you. The problem is people are picking them up and reading them. Then they get all fear again and bound up. The only thing he can do is send you messages from your past. Do you remember? Send you discouraging things. Sending you things of fear. It's amazing. We should have warehouses of these paper planes that we've never opened. That's all you need to do, is just set one match in there. It's over with. Hebrews chapter 9. Now let's go to Hebrews 10 instead. Hebrews 10. Is everybody there? In verse 35. Hebrews 10, verse 35. And let's speak this together, please. You ready?
Yes.
Everybody okay?
Yes.
Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of what? Endurance. Yes, endurance. Yes. Listen, if you think that the devil's just going to sit back and let you do what you're supposed to do, you ain't too smart. Now, there is a saying, resistance is futile. Amen. That's why he says, submit to God, then you can resist the devil. But if you're not submitting to God, how can you resist? You can't, because you try to do it in your own strength and it won't work. So he says, listen, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He says, so you're going to need endurance, so that after you have what? Come on, read it with me. So that after you have done the what? Will of God, you may what? Receive the promise. That's the reward. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by what? Faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. For we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe in the saving of the soul. So after you've received, you believe, you execute, the promise comes. Does everybody get this? See, so many people are trying to get the promise without execution. Come on now, are you getting this? Oh, Lord, you promised. He said, you ain't done it yet. When you do what I tell you, I'll release the promise. Lord, you said you'd bless me. I will bless you. But do this. You do this, I'll do that. See, people are going to God. God, you do this, and then I'll do that. It don't work that way. He's God, and we're not. Ephesians chapter 1. That's why he says, when you go, Lord, help, he goes, go learn. Here's a place for you to learn. Go get refreshed. Go get reminded. Go get stirred up. I think sometimes God plugs his nose. You're in the flesh. Go get filled. See, because when we're in the flesh, we're not a sweet-smelling aroma. Only when we're in the spirit, we're a sweet-smelling aroma. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. 13? Yes. Are you ready? Let's read it. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having what? Believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption, the purchase, possession, to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may what? Give to you the spirit of what? Wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power, where? Toward us who what? Who what?
Believe.
Believe, because when you believe, you receive, then you what? Execute. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Wow. Having believed, we receive. Sealed by the Holy Spirit, the word says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. So when you believe, you receive, then you execute. If you're not executing, it's because you don't believe. Now let me share something. Oh, how do I believe? How do I receive? How do I do? Choice. You make the choice. You say yes instead of no. You make the choice. Why? You were born with a measure of faith. You have the power to choose. You make the choice. Lord, I'm going to believe. Okay, then receive. Okay, I got it. Now execute it. Okay. You mean it's that simple? Yes. It's that simple. The problem is people make the choices by how they feel, their traditions, what they think, instead of what God says. They make more choices by what TV tells them. They make more choices by what music tells them. They make more choices by what movie stars tell them or sports professionals tell them. They make more choices by what doctors tell them. In other words, what you're saying is, I don't believe this. That's what the enemy wants us to do. Reject the word of promise. Why? Because if we reject it, we won't execute it. Then he'll continue to torment people, destroy families. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's his job. So we all right? Praise God. 1 John chapter 1. What? Execute. In verse 5. Is everybody there? 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. Let's speak this together, please. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. So there are no gray areas. Does everybody get it? There's no gray area. You're either serving him, or you're either serving heaven or you're serving hell, one or the other. And who you serve when you die is where you go. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him, but walk in darkness, we what? Now that's pretty powerful. God calls us a liar. He says, you say you believe, but you don't follow me. You don't receive what I'm saying and you don't execute it, so you don't believe. So quit saying that you believe when you don't. You're a liar. That's pretty powerful. Does everybody get this? If we say that we have fellowship with him and we serve darkness, we lie. And do not practice the truth. Practicing the truth means executing the truth. Why? You can't execute the truth if you don't believe and receive. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Wow. Is everybody all right? So there's that area of practicing the truth means we receive, we believe, we receive, and we execute. Amen? Go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 19, real simple. Matthew 16, 19, is everybody there? What does it say? And I will what? Give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Hello. To do what? Hang on your door? I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be what? Loose. This is to execute. What are you doing? You're binding powers of darkness. You're binding the spirits. You're binding principalities, wickedness in heavenly places. You are binding them. The spirit of lust and perversion, the spirit of fear and doubt and unbelief. You're binding them. Why? Because I believe, I receive. And when I receive, I execute. Why? Because it's my responsibility to drive out darkness. So I'm going to bind them up and throw them out back to the pit. Go back to the pit. Does everybody understand that? That's what he gave us these. We have the keys to heaven. My gosh. We are the drive out darkness. But the problem is people don't believe. They say they do, but they don't execute. And God says, because you don't execute, you're a liar. Go to Mark 16. Let's see what else he says. Mark 16. Hallelujah. So how do we receive from God? Choice. Everyone say, it's my choice.
My choice.
To receive.
To receive.
To believe.
To believe.
And to execute.
To execute.
My choice. Say it again. My choice.
My choice.
I have the power
to choose.
Because I've been given a measure of faith to execute. No excuse. Can't blame nobody. No reasoning. No justification. I'm just going to do it. Amen. Praise God. Mark 16. Is everybody there? And verse 16. Uh-oh. Are you ready? Here we go. Come on, speak it with me. He who what? Believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be what? And what's the word believe mean? Follow. And these signs will follow those who follow me. In my name, they will what? Oh my goodness. They're going to execute. They're going to drive out darkness. Listen. When you're struggling, go to the mirror, look in it, and command those spirits to leave you. You might even see him running around in there. They start blinking at you and stuff. Man, move quick. Execute. In my name, they will cast out what?
Demons.
My wife and I were traveling one day. We're on my way to the Airport, I was like sick. I'm thinking, my gosh. We checked in. We're waiting for it to board, and we're out there. And I'm like, man. My wife goes, well, let me pray for her. She lays her hand on my shoulder and starts praying. I said, no! Look at my eyes! Cast that thing out! She looked at my eyes. She commanded that sickness to leave me, and that spirit of infirmity and sickness, boom, I was fine. Got back, went on the plane. Listen, sickness is not from God. It's from the devil. Addiction is not from God. It's from the devil. Fear is not from God. It's from the devil. Afflictions are not from God. They're from the devil. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We got to stop thinking that God's trying to hurt us. He says, I love you unconditionally. He's not trying to hurt me and you. It's the devil that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God has given me and you the keys of the kingdom to kick butt. He's given us the sword of the Spirit. The whole problem is we need to make the choice to believe, receive, and execute. And stop this religious garbage. Amen? Praise God. Woo-hoo. All right. Now look at this. They will cast in my name, they will what? Cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's Brent. Look, you ain't going to college to learn some kind of language from the world. That ain't going to speak directly to God. That's the only language the devil can't interpret is tongues. Because he knows exactly what you think. He's a spirit. Don't let nobody tell you the devil doesn't know what you think. Oh, he does. He knows exactly what you're thinking. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will what? Recover. Why? Because you are driving out darkness. You're driving out sickness. You're driving out the powers of darkness, fear, and everything else. Demons. 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 Disembodied spirits looking for a body. And they don't care whether you're a believer or not. You make a place for them, they're coming in. Amen? Praise God. Proverbs 8. But how can a devil live with the Holy Spirit? How can you live with the Holy Spirit? The Bible says you and I have our breathe and have our being in God. Everything's in God. The devil's no respecter. He don't care whether the Holy Spirit is there, but he does care if you execute. Does everybody understand that? Because see, the Holy Spirit is there, but we got to make room for the Holy Spirit. See, so the devil tries to make room for himself to replace the Holy Spirit. That's why they're called familiar spirits. That's why people are still reading their horoscopes, opening doors of demons in their life. Well, I'm a believer. You mean I can't read a fortune cookie? No, because you touch and agree with something evil. Go ahead, read a fortune cookie. I can guarantee a spirit came in you. I know my fortune. It's right here. I'm predestined. I live from the future. I don't need to know it all. I need to trust them all. Hallelujah. Where'd I say to go? Oh, Proverbs. Thank you. Proverbs 8. You know, too many people still touching unclean things, opening the doors. Things in their eyes, ears, gates. These are gates to your soul and to your spirit. Jesus warns us, he says, cleanse your spirit and your flesh. Why? Because when you're contaminated, God can't do anything for you. Does everybody get it? Until you what? Repent and get washed by the blood. That's why the blood always goes before the what? Spirit. Does everybody get it? The blood always goes before the what? That's what the tabernacle is for. There's this outer court called the place of outer court where the sacrifice is. Why? Because the blood is shed first, then the Spirit comes. Always making room for the Spirit. That's why we repent every day. If you haven't repented in a while and you think you haven't sinned, you're deceived. We sin every day. Well, I don't remember my last sin. Who cares? Repent anyways. You've sinned. Proverbs 8. Verse 12, let's speak it. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to what?
Hate evil.
The fear of the Lord is to what?
Hate evil.
So where there's no fear of the Lord, there's no relationship. Does everybody got it? This fear doesn't mean terror. It means reverence, honor, and respect. Reverence, honor, and respect. Where there's no fear of the Lord, there's no relationship. Because when there's a relationship, there's a reverence, honor, and respect. Does everybody understand that? The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in every evil way. So we're to hate pride, we're to hate arrogance. And the perverse mouth I hate. Wow. Let's read 13 again. Everyone. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance and the evil way. And the perverse mouth I hate. Does everybody see that? Why? Because those things will open the door to contaminate your spirit and open the door for demons to re-enter you again. The Bible says that they come back seven times more. See, because we've had them for so long, they believe that you're their house. They don't want to give you up. They've been getting fed off of your emotions for so long. So you finally get rid of them. They come knocking back. They try to get back no matter what. They try to entice you with desires. They try to entice you with thoughts. They try to compromise. Oh, come on, just a little here. They try to get you to get laid. They wait for you to let your guard down. The next thing you know, bam, something's up. They fight to come back into you. Hebrews chapter 3. Is everybody all right? I really want to finish this, so hang tough. Hebrews 3. I believe this is vitally important because we need to believe, receive, and execute. And stop the foolishness of religiosity. Hebrews 3 and verse 8. Is everybody there? Now let's start at verse 7 though. Let's speak it together, okay? Therefore is the what? Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if, that means if you cooperate. If we what? Hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end, while it is said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. Does everybody see that? Very powerful. Very powerful. Now verse 14. For For who having heard rebelled, indeed was it not all who came out of Egypt led by Moses? Now, Egypt represents the world. So you and I have come out of the world. Does everybody get that? The world is ruled by Satan's kingdom. Go to Genesis 25. I'm going to go there quickly. Genesis 25. I want to make sure I get enough scriptures in for Randy. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? Are you joyful? Are you learning? You getting this? How do you believe? How do you receive? Choose. Everyone choose. I didn't mean chew. I mean you choose. Choose. Everyone say, I have a choice.
I have a
choice. That's better. We're going to choose to win, not to lose. Genesis 25, is everybody there? Verse 29. Genesis 25:29. Oh, hallelujah. Let's speak it together. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was what? Weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright of this day. Now look at, Jacob was more interested in the spiritual than Esau. Jacob had an understanding about inheritance. Esau couldn't care less. He was just interested in fulfilling and feeding his flesh. Esau wanted the promises. Jacob wanted the promises. Esau wanted the stew. You know how many people sell their birthright to get high? They sell their birthright for a drink. They sell their birthright for sex. They sell their birthright for sin. In verse 31, and Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. So what is this birthright to me? Wow. It didn't mean anything to him. You know, many people, salvation don't mean nothing to them. Oh, I'm saved. Let me again tell you, who you serve when you die is where you go. You cannot enter heaven a sinner. You enter heaven washed by the blood. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? Then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank and arose and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Let me tell you that the enemy tries to get you to sell your birthright of salvation. He wants to exchange your birthright. He does it with everything he can. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, pornography, fame, even family. People put everything before God. Is everybody all right? Esau eventually despised his birthright. His heart was hardened. In 2 Corinthians 4, a couple more. 2 Corinthians 4. All glory. In verse 16, you know, so we can't lose heart. We can't grow weary. We got to constantly keep this up. We must encourage one another. In verse 16, let's speak it. Therefore, do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working. Is what? It's working for us. A far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. It's working for us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. God delivers us out of all of them. But it's still working for us. Why? Because every affliction, every trial is on the job training. It's molding you. It's exposing your enemy to see if you're going to execute. Does everybody get it? Why? Because if you truly believe and receive, then you're going to execute. So when that trial comes, God is exposing your enemy for you to execute it and drive out darkness. If you don't, it's going to drive you out. Verse 18. While we do not look at the things which are what? We do not look at the things that are what? Seen. We don't go according to the physical. But at the things which are what? Not seen, because we know our influence is from the unseen realm. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. But the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Wow. So we don't lose heart. We don't quit. We continue to believe, receive, and what? Execute. Drive out darkness. Oh, hallelujah. James chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 18. Now let's start at 14. Hallelujah. Let's speak it. For what does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? If it does not have works, is what? If it does not have works, is what? So I believe, I receive, and I what? Execute, because I believe and receive. That means I have faith. And now that I'm executing, it's expressing the faith. Hello? Verse 19. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe in what? Tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is what? Dead. Do you see that faith was working together with his works? Oh, I'm sorry. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered Isaac, his son, on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works, faith was what? Made perfect. Why? Because he believed, he received, and he what? Executed. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. There must be execution. Must be. Or there's no fruit of faith, belief, or receiving. And I want to close in Ephesians 6. From God by what? Making a choice. Choose or lose. Ephesians 6. Is everybody there? In verse 10. Let's speak it together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, the power of his might. Do what? Put on the whole armor of God that you may what? Be able to stand against the wiles of the trickery. You know how many believers still don't put on the full armor of God? You know why? Because they don't believe. They don't believe it's necessary. So they don't believe, they don't receive, and they can't execute. See, they don't really believe that there's a war, or they'd be putting on the full armor of God. Does everybody get this? They don't believe, or they would be getting dressed with the full armor of God and prepare for war. That's why they don't have victory. Verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, where in heavenly places the unseen realm that's influencing and causing problems. Therefore what? Take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In other words, why? So you can execute. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with what? Truth. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all fiery darts, which is the voice of the stranger, of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the what? Sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Now look at verse 18, which people don't even know it's the seventh part of the armor. Tongues is the seventh part of the armor. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, which means tongues. And being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. For me that what? Utterance may be given to me, and that I may open my mouth what? Boldly execute. To make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In other words, he said, pray for me that I will be bold to execute. How do we receive from God? By making a what? Choice. It says that he chose you. He chose me and you already, so we need to choose him. We already have the measure of faith. It's been predestined to each and every one coming into this realm. Now, it's our choice to believe, receive, and execute. If every believer would execute, we'd have more victory. Things would be different. But too much religion has infiltrated the kingdom of God. And people are sitting here going to church thinking they're just tithing a couple Hail Mary, couple Hail Marys, hallelujah. I haven't said it in years. I must have been watching something on Catholicism's deception. But anyways, the most wicked organization in the world, but people don't even know that either. Hallelujah. But anyways, believe, receive, and execute, and be blessed. Amen? Thank you, Father. We acknowledge your word. We thank you. Let this seed that's been imparted grow and bear fruit for your glory. And give us the boldness to choose to believe, receive, and execute, and drive out all darkness in Jesus' name.